Good evening. This is Life Rattle, the story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1308, we feature two stories by new Life Rattle writer Kanya Selvakumar. Tonight's featured writer, Kanya Selvakumar, writes with a natural, easy flow that belies the complex subtext in her stories. Our first story, anchored by a game of Scrabble, drifts in and out of the board game to bring us a series of vignettes that document the immediate, brutal impact of a marriage breakdown on the family unit. Let's listen now as Kanya Selvakumar reads her story, Scrabble, tonight on Life Rattle.
Scrabble by Kanya Selvakumar. The Scrabble board lies spread out on the black coffee table. Clear tape runs down the binding of the 25-year-old board game. The empty box sits on the floor. Mom, my brother Sangha, and I sit around the coffee table with mugs of tea, each hunched over our wooden tile holders. The three of us together again. Dad must have his own place by now. Not that it matters. Dad rarely played Scrabble with us because he was never really good at word games. I wake up, roll onto my stomach, and reach for my cell phone. I silence the alarm and glance at the time. 5 a.m. I sigh and roll onto my back and stare at the white ceilings and walls. I inhale the faint smell of new paint. My room has been newly painted for the house sale to cover up all the puncture holes from the text that held up my posters. Nemo paws at the door, pushes it wide open, and enters to greet me. Good morning, buddy. His wet nose snuffles my face, and he gives me a lick before leaving the room. His collar jingles as he goes down the stairs. I can hear the sound of the kettle from the kitchen. The smell of coffee wafts into my room through the open door. I sit up and stretch out the kinks in my back. I ache from sleeping on the floor in a sleeping bag on top of a quilt. I pack up the sleeping bag, quilt, and pillow into my giant plastic bag. Mom gently knocks on the door. I look up to see that she's dressed and ready for the day. The washroom is free. Dress quickly. We have to pack the last of the stuff. Okay. I pick up the clothes I laid out the previous night and go get ready. I dress fast, and when I open the washroom door, Dad steps out of the master bedroom. He carries a duffel bag. Hi, I stutter. He nods and heads downstairs. I can see his shoes laid out at the bottom of the stairs, with his lunch bag beside them. I return to my room. The bare walls look alien to me, and even the purple curtains have disappeared. I visualize the Lord of the Rings and band posters that once covered every inch of white surface. I sighed. I bring the last of my bags out into the hallway. I hear the front door open. I drop the bags and hurry downstairs. Dad closes the door quietly behind him. He hadn't noticed me. I quickly slip my bare feet into my sneakers and follow after him, my hair still disheveled. The crisp, early morning September air gives me goosebumps on my arms. Dad, I run up beside his van. He is just about to shut the door. Yes? No goodbye? What's the point? Dad's mouth forms a thin line. He appears calm, but I know differently. I look at my feet and blink hard for a few seconds. It's not the end, you know, I reply. I'm still your daughter. I know, he says, half sitting in the van, his left foot planted firmly on the driveway. I will myself to look at him. Can I have a hug? I say in a small voice. Dad sighs and slowly steps out of the front seat with his arms open. I hold him tight. I plant my face into his chest as if I'm 5 again. He smells of Ralph Lauren aftershave and Dad. All Dad. I'll miss you, Daddy, I whispered. My eyes feel hot. I don't want to let him go. I'll miss you too, Kenny, he replies and squeezes hard. I have to go now. I'll be late for work. I pull away slowly. Yeah, okay. I'll talk to you soon, then. Okay. Dad steps back into the front seat, closes the door, and buckles his seatbelt. He starts the engine. The familiar rumble of his blue van fills the early morning void. The headlights flood onto the street, and I wave as he drives away. On the right side of the board, an R remains open, hanging at the end of the word "our." Its three sides exposed for the taking. I stare at my tile holder. The letters AZOR neatly line one end. Sister, it's your turn. Senga looks up across from me. He seems eager to take his turn after mine. I play my word. Razor. A double word score and a double letter score. 30 points. My score places me in first. Senga plays his turn quickly. Razors. 31 points. You're such a thief! It's strategy. He shrugs nonchalantly. It's his signature move to steal the points from another player's hard work. It was part of our family's unofficial way of playing Scrabble. A method that gave players with lesser vocabulary a chance. We all know Senga can come up with good words himself. He's just lazy. Mom gingerly places her letters on the board. Time. 6 points. She looks at me with expectation. An English major, Mom expects me to score big points. Even when I was younger, my reputation for reading a lot always meant higher than average Scrabble expectations. I stare at the jumble of letters on my holder. S-V-I-L-K-A. I capitalize on the S my brother laid down and place silk. Triple word score, 24 points. Good job, Mom says with a big smile. I cup my tea in my hands for warmth and smile. After Dad's van turns the corner, I go back inside the house. Mom hurriedly packs up the last of the kitchen utensils. She yanks tape over another box. You're finished with the bathroom, right? I already packed everything. What? Oh, yeah. I ruffle Nemo's floppy ears as I look down the length of the house from the foyer. I can see our backyard through the curtain-free living room windows. The sky is getting bluer, and little brown birds splash in the pond. Kenya, Mom stands in front of me. Take this to the car. She hands me the keys and a big box. I go back outside and click the unlock button. The lights on the Dodge Journey flash. You need help with that? I flinch. The box nearly falls from my grasp. Jesus! Senga! You scared me! He takes the box from my hands, lifts the trunk, and pushes it into the back. Is there more? I nod, and we head back inside. Nemo dances around our feet. He's happy Senga is home. We have to be done by 9 a.m. We load the Dodge and Senga's Mazda. We finish at 8:45. I stand in the driveway and clutch Nemo's leash tight in my hand. Mom and Senga come out the door. Even the porch doesn't look the same anymore. The front door has been newly painted and no longer looks like our door. I watch Mom lock it for the last time. She clicks the code into the lockbox and opens it. She drops the keys inside and snaps it shut. She hooks it back on the front door. That's it then, I say. I grip the leash tighter. Mom nods. So what's the plan? Senga looks from me to Mom and fiddles with his hat. You can go back to Jackie's if you want, I say. He looks tired. Mom has all my stuff. I'm going to walk with Nemo to Auntie Sabrina's house and imitate the whole migratory thing. Mom's going to meet me there. You sure? His eyebrows knit together. Mom nods and pats his arm. It'll be okay. It's a big change for us, but only temporary. Okay. He seems unconvinced. Call me if you need anything. He gives me a hug, longer than usual, and then hugs Mom. They exchange words, but I don't pay attention to what's being said. The house suddenly seems so small. Nemo wags his tail, oblivious to everything. Ready to go? Asks Mom. I take one final look at the house and take a deep breath. Thanks, sister. Senga plays knife. 2 for a double letter score plus a triple word score, 36 points. I scowl. You're such a cheater. It's not cheating, it's strategy, I know. Mom curls up on the corner of the couch, wrapped in her favorite red throw, chuckles. She no longer sees the need to protect me from my brother's strong-arm tactics. It's your turn, Mom, I say, and take a sip of water. Nemo, done with his bone, hops on the couch beside me and curls up into a ball to watch us play. Mom leans over her letters, sighs, and plays a D. Knifed. That makes it 42 points. Oh, come on, Sango whines. I write down the points on the paper, certain that I'm losing. Where do you think you got your smarts from, huh? Mom laughs. I smile. I look up at the clock. 7:35. I look back down at my letters. Hello, hello, welcome to your new home. Auntie Sabrina, my best friend Alicia's mom, gives me a bear hug. I can see Mom standing behind her, smiling. Thanks for taking us in, I say. Nemo and I will be living with Auntie Sabrina temporarily, until we find a new place. The condo Mom has nearly signed off to buy does not permit dogs the size of Nemo, and the realtor hadn't informed us of that detail. After a bit of struggle, Mom backed out of the purchase, and that has left us displaced. It's nothing. You're going to be family now, Auntie Sabrina says and rubs my back. Alicia's been looking forward to this all week. I'll show you to your room. Auntie Sabrina leads me into the house. Mom follows. We unload and unpack my stuff into my new room. Nemo has to adjust to sharing toys with his new housemates, Auntie Sabrina's dogs, Rooney and Toby. When I'm settled, Mom decides to take her leave. She will stay at a family friend's house. I would be staying with her too, but they have dog allergies. We escort Mom outside. She hugs Auntie Sabrina tightly. Thank you so much for what you have done. I really appreciate it. Your family's our savior. You're very welcome, Auntie Sabrina replies. As I watch them, I wonder why Alicia and I never had our moms get together before now. This is your home too now, so come by any time. I walk Mom to the car door. She gives me a strong squeeze. Be on your best behavior, all right? Help them around the house. I know, I say. Don't worry, Mom, this is only temporary till we find a new place. I gently release Mom from my grasp. She looks so small as she pulls out a tissue from her pocket and dabs her eyes. I know, she sniffles, but I feel like I failed. Mom, don't be stupid, I say. Shit happens, but we have our health and we have each other. Maybe some time apart will do us all good, and we're still in the same city after all. She smiles and cups my cheek. You're a very brave girl, you know. I love you. I get it from you, I reply, and smile. I love you too. For a second time that morning, I watch a parent drive away as I blink as hard as I can. Auntie Sabrina put her arm around my shoulders. Let's go have some lunch, okay, dear? I return her gentle smile and go back inside. A comforting tingle spreads down from my shoulders. I place the last tile down. Q-U-I-E-T-E-D. Quieted. Q on a double letter, 20. That makes 27 plus a double word score. 54 points. Wow, Kenya, exclaims Mom, her eyes wide. She picks up her tea and studies her letters. Sanga frowns at his letters. He cannot seem to take advantage of my latest word. He scratches his chin and grumbles. I look at their faces and take in the moment. After 3 months apart, we are all home. Nemo sits up and barks, his tail thumping against the leather sofa.
That was Scrabble, written and read by Kanya Silvakumar. Our second story takes us out on the town to a trendy bar on College Street in Toronto with three young women, including two who have been friends since childhood. Last Call brings a stab of betrayal, subtle yet potent, that sours the night. Let's listen now to The Wing Woman, written and read by Kanya Silvakumar.
The Wing Woman by Kenya Silvakumar. I'm your wing woman, Veronica tells me as we walk down College Street to a bar from the Green Pea City parking lot. Uh-huh, I reply. I pull my black sweater tight against myself. The autumn evening is colder than I had expected, and I wish I had worn a coat. It's about getting you out there. I'm your support, she continues her spiel. Your mission is to talk to some guys and maybe get a number or two. I'll be there to break the ice. I look at her sharply. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Ugh, stop being so negative. She tosses her long brown hair over her shoulder. Just trust me. I've known Veronica since we were children. Tonight, we've decided to party. She attends the University of Laurier in Waterloo. I live in Toronto. We rarely get to see each other. When we do, we try to make the most of it. We arrive at College Street Bar, where my brother DJs a monthly party called Satisfaction. The bouncer checks our IDs. I feel a little happy when he takes a little longer to examine my driver's license. He must think I look young. We head inside the club. It's 10:30, and the small bar in Little Italy starts to get a bit more packed, with a crowd of 20 and 30-somethings. A group of girls push two tables together. They must be celebrating a birthday, because one girl wears a gaudy plastic crown on her head. The dance floor and DJ are at the back, left of the long bar that runs the length of the place. Kenya, shouts my friend Alex. She bounds over to greet us, and we exchange hugs. Alex matches me in height tonight with her massive 5-inch heels. Let's get some drinks, Veronica says. We order a pitcher of Miller Genuine Draft and sit down at one of the empty tables. We catch up on school, friends, life, and of course, boys. Veronica tells Alex about her plan to get me more out there tonight. Alex jumps on board with it. I feel a little pressured and think there's a long night ahead of me. We talk until the music starts to pound and the ground gets pumped, and we barely hear ourselves, let alone each other. My bladder throbs from too much beer. I push my way through the throngs of people hovering around the bar to get a drink, and make my way down the steps to the restrooms in the basement. I finish and make my way back upstairs, and I nearly slip backwards at the top stair. A strong arm catches me. Easy there. Thanks, I squeak and laugh. I feel my cheeks redden. These stairs are so steep. The hand holding my arm steadies me and lets go as my feet land squarely on the floor. I turn around and see a guy with dark almond eyes, dark hair, and a dark blue shirt. He grins at me and sticks his hand out. Yeah, dangerous for girls in heels. I'm Mark. Kenya, I reply, and shake his hand. Thanks again for saving me from a nasty fall. Don't mention it. Mark and I walk past the dance floor, and we talk amid the noise until we reach Veronica and Alex. Mark turns out to be a friend of my brother's. We meet Mark's other friends, Eric and Ryan, and merge into one group. Come on, barks Veronica. She pulls Eric onto the dance floor while she waves at the rest of us to join them. Alex points at Mark and whispers loudly to me, "He's cute." We take over a pocket of space on the dance floor and create our own exclusive circle. Mark dances on my left, Veronica dances to his left, and Alex dances opposite me between Mark's friends Eric and Ryan. The dim orange lights above the dance floor make the space seem smaller and more intimate. I groove with the music, bobbing my head and moving from side to side. My heels prevent any extravagant dance moves. Mark and I exchange smiles and sometimes talk loudly into each other's ear. Alex presses up against Ryan. I try to be as flirtatious as possible in the hopes that Mark will ask for my phone number. Veronica starts to dance more vivaciously. Another group of guys joins us, friends of friends from what I can gather. I begin to notice everyone's attention slowly turns to Veronica. The center of our dance circle moves to her. Woohoo! She shouts. Veronica spins, tosses her head, and dips her back. People around her cheer. My eyes widen. I had no idea she could make that move. I notice Ryan take Alex by the hand and move off the dance floor. They head towards the front of the club. I smile to myself. I turn to my left and notice Mark starting to shift away. His interest has turned to Veronica. I watched her dutty whine, a dance move that involves swinging your head and moving your legs like a butterfly. I watch Veronica along with the rest of the guys. Veronica knows how to dance. She leaps back up, laughing, and places her arm around Mark and Eric. The three of them do a little jig. I laugh, but my stomach begins to ache. I excuse myself to go sit down. I need to take a breather. I find an empty table near the entrance, in the opposite corner. Alex and Ryan sit huddled together. Mark whispers something to Veronica on the dance floor. She giggles. I sigh. Hey, Veronica slides into the empty chair beside me. Are you all right? Yeah, I reply. My stomach just hurts a bit. Maybe something I ate earlier. She raises an eyebrow. I know she doesn't quite believe me. Okay. I'm fine, I say, really. Veronica tosses her brown hair over her shoulder. The dim lighting in the bar contrasts with the orange glow of the streetlights filtering through the windows. The shadow cast on Veronica's face make her eyes look sharper. The club lights and the streetlights highlights the features of her mixed heritage and make her look more exotic than ever. You need to let yourself go, she says, while reclining back in her seat. Be more outgoing. Stop thinking about what other people think. Relax, Kenya. I shrug. My stomach knots. Veronica means well, but she has a way of making things worse. Yeah, I know. I shift my attention to the street outside, still busy with people even at this late hour. You need to do this for yourself. She surges forward, her voice rising, her eyes wide. You'll be a lot happier if you do. Mark pushes through the pulsing crowds toward us and stands behind Veronica. What are you two doing out here? He says. Mark smiles at me, and I thank the universe for interrupting Veronica's impending lecture. Just resting a bit, I reply. Her stomach hurts, Veronica says. She stands up, angles away from me, and rests a hand on her hip. Oh no, do you need anything? Mark's voice rises, and he looks at me imploringly. Water? No, I'm fine, I smile. It's probably just a muscle cramp from all the dancing. Are you sure? I can go get you something while you wait here. I'm okay. Okay, he responds with a raised brow and a slight frown. She's fine, Veronica says with a light shake of her hand in my direction. The music changes again. I love this song. Let's go. Go dance, I say. I'll come back in a bit. Veronica gives me a direct look. You better come soon. She prances off and jumps right into the crowd of dancers with gusto. Mark gives me a quick smile and follows Veronica. I stay seated. The heels hurt my feet, and it's 1:30 in the morning, and my body wants to sleep. Alex and Ryan see me alone and pull me to the dance floor again. Veronica moves closer to Mark and practically grinds up against him. Our dance circle has now moved to the middle of the floor, right in front of the DJ booth. We spend the rest of the night dancing. White lights come on. Last call is long over, and the music changes to smooth jazz. The club winds down. The crowd slowly begins to shuffle outside, with many moving across the street to Burrito Boys. I stand by the inside entrance and tie my long hair up to air out my hot and sweaty neck. I see Veronica and Mark from the corner of my eye with their phones out. Veronica bounds over to me. You ready to go? Yeah. Mark gave me his number. I didn't expect that to happen at all. Veronica's eyes shine bright as she holds open the door for me. The cold night air hits me hard. I shiver and yank my sweater tighter to my body. That's good, I reply, and start to walk down the street towards the Green Pea City parking lot. Veronica's footsteps echo behind me.
That was The Wing Woman, written and read by Kanya Selvakumar. This concludes Life Rattle number 1308. My name is Lori Callis. I recorded Kanya reading her stories. Life Rattle was created by Arnie Ackman and Guy Allen. Be sure to tune in next week for a Life Rattle Classics program hosted by Virginia Ashbury.